السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فموضوع هذه الكلمة مكانة عيسى لمريم وأمه مريم ابنة عمران عليهما الصلاة والسلام في الإسلام. ولا شك أن هذا موضوع يطول فيه الحديث، ولكن في هذه الكلمة ألفت النظر إلى بعض ما يتعلق بهذا الموضوع، وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلها كلمة مباركة نافعة، إنه السميع المجيب الدعاء. نحن نعلم أيها الإخوة الكرام أن الإيمان بالأنبياء والرسل ركن من أركان الإيمان، فلا يصح الإيمان إلا بالإيمان بالرسل، كما يدل على ذلك أدلة كثيرة، ومنها حديث جبريل المشهور أن جبريل سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أخبرني عن الإيمان، قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. فدل هذا الحديث على أن الإيمان بالرسل هو ركن من أركان الإيمان، لا يصح الإيمان إلا به. والإيمان بالرسل إيمان مشمل وإيمان مفصل. فالإيمان المجمل أن تؤمن برسل الله سبحانه وتعالى، تؤمن بأنبياء الله. ومن الإيمان المفصل أن تؤمن بنبوة أو رسالة من سماه الله عز وجل، كإبراهيم ونوح وموسى وعيسى وشعيب وهود وصالح وغيرهم ممن ذكرهم الله عز وجل بأسمائهم. ولا يصح الإيمان حتى يؤمن بكل الرسل بكل الأنبياء، فمن كفر بنبي واحد فإنه يكون كافرا خارجا من الملة، حكم من كذب جميع الرسل، كما قال تعالى كذبت قوم نوح المرسلين، مع أن نوح هو أول الرسل، والله يقول كذبت قوم نوح المرسلين، وذلك أن من كذب نوحا فإنه في حكم من كذب جميع رسل الله عليهم الصلاة والسلام. ومن أولئك الرسل الذين يجب الإيمان بهم عيسى بن مريم عليه وعلى نبينا الصلاة والسلام، وقد قص الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم في مواضع عديدة قصص وأخبار متعلقة بعيسى وبأمه، في سورة آل عمران وفي سورة مريم وفي سورة الأنبياء وفي سورة المائدة وفي غيرها من سور القرآن الكريم، جاء فيها إما قصة نشأته وإما بيان دعوته للتوحيد وإما بيان الرد على من اتخذه إله مع الله، وإما بالتنويه بشأنه وعظم مكانته وأنه من أولي العزم، إلى غير ذلك مما جاء فيما يتعلق بشأنه عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولضيق الوقت فإني سأستعرض بصورة مجملة ما يتعلق بشأنه في سورة مريم في أولها. فإن الله عز وجل قال في هذه السورة الكريمة سورة مريم: واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا. وكان قبل هذه الآية قد ذكر قصة زكريا، وهكذا أيضا جاء في سورة آل عمران ذكر قصة زكريا ثم مريم، وهنا في سورة مريم ذكر قصة زكريا ثم مريم، وهكذا في الأنبياء ذكر شأن زكريا ثم مريم. فإنه يذكر قصة زكريا كالتمجيد والتوطية بقصة مريم، وذلك أن زكريا دعا ربه قال: رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين. فاستجاب الله عز وجل دعاءه ووهب له يحيى وأصلح له زوجه وكفله مريم بنت عمران، جعلها في كفالة زكريا. والتمهيد في شأن زكريا أن الله عز وجل من عليه بالولد، مع أن الموانع التي تمنع من وجود الولد موجودة، فهو كبير في السن وامرأة عقيم، وكبر السن في الغالب هي من موانع الولد، والعقم في زوجه من موانع العقم، ومع ذلك من الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه بيحيى. لكن الله عز وجل على كل شيء قدير، فكان حصول هذا لزكريا كالتمجيد لبني إسرائيل أن يظهر فيه عيسى على تلك الهيئة الغريبة العجيبة. الله عز وجل على كل شيء قدير. بعد أن ذكر سبحانه وتعالى قصة زكريا قال سبحانه: واذكر في الكتاب مريم، وهي مريم ابنة عمران، إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا. انتبذت بمعنى اعتزلت، وذلك أنها كانت أمها قد فرغتها حرضتها لعبادة الله سبحانه وتعالى، فكانت قوامة قانتة لله جل وعلا مقبلة على عبادة ربها تبارك وتعالى، معتزلة للناس لا تخرج من إفرادها إلا بما لا بد منه. ثم إن الله عز وجل أرسل لها جبريل عليه السلام كما قال سبحانه: فاتخذت من دونه حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا، يعني جبريل عليه السلام، فتمثل لها بشرا سويا، جاءها على صورة بشر سوي كامل الخلقة تام الخلقة في مكان لا يطلع عليه فيها بشر. ولما كانت امرأة صالحة تقية طاهرة نقية، فإنها أول ما رأته قالت: إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقية. تذكره الله جل وعلا: إذا كنت تقي تخاف الله وتراقب الله جل وعلا فلا تمسني بسوء. أن يتذكره الله سبحانه وتعالى أن لا يمسها بسوء، يدلس دينها أو عرضها. فطمأنها جبريل عليه السلام وقال إنما أنا رسول ربك، أي لست بشرا مثلك ولكني رسول ملكي، إنما أنا رسول ربك. لماذا أو بما أرسلك؟ قال لأهب لك غلاما زكيا، لأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى. زكيا يعني طاهرا. فتعجبت مريم كيف يكون لها ولد وهي لم تتزوج، كذلك ليس تبغي، ولهذا قالت أنا يعني كيف، من باب التعجب استغراب، أما يكون لي غلام، يعني كيف أن هذا الحمل ولم ينفسني بشر، لم تتزوج ولم أكن بغية، ليس في زاني. وهذا شيء عجيب وغريب أن يكون لها ولد وهي بهذه الحال. قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هيّ. فالله عز وجل أمره إذا أراد شيئا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون، لا شيء عسير على الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالله لا يعجبه شيء ولا يقوده شيء سبحانه، ويجعله آية للناس، علامة بينة واضحة على كمال قدرة الله سبحانه وتعالى، وأنه يتصرف في خلقه كما يشاء. خلق آدم من غير ذكر ولا أنثى، خلقه من تراب، وخلق حواء زوجه من ذكر بلا أنثى، وخلق عيسى من أنثى بلا ذكر، وخلق سائر الخلق من ذكر وأنثى. فتمت بذلك القسمة الرباعية، ولم يجعله آية للناس. وإذا كان الله عز وجل هو القاهر هو القادر كامل الغنى كامل القوة، فإذن هو وحده المستحق أن يعبد سبحانه وتعالى. ورحمة منا، فإن الله عز وجل يرسل الرسل رحمة للعباد، يأتونهم بالكتب والآيات من عند الله ويدلونهم إلى عبادة الله وحده، ويحذرونهم من الشرك به سبحانه، ويدلونهم على الطرق الموصلة إلى رضا الله وإلى رحمته، ويحذرونهم من كل ما يغضب الله عز وجل عليهم، فيسعدون بذلك في دنياهم وفي أخراهم. فيسأل الرسل من أعظم النعم ومن أعظم مظاهر رحمة الله جل وعلا على العباد، وإن يجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا، وكان أمرا مقضيا. هذا قد يكون من تتمة كلام جبريل عليه السلام لها، لأن عيسى أمر مقضي وقد فرغ منه ثم قضاه الله وقدره، فلا بد من حصوله. وقد يكون هذا من كلام الله جل وعلا، أي ليس حكاية عن كلام جبريل. فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا، ذلك أن جبريل عليه السلام نفخ في درع مريم، يعني في قميصها في جيب القميص من جهة الرقبة والنحر والصدر نفخ فيها نفخة بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهذه النفخة وصلت إلى فرجها بإذن الله وحملت من ساعتها كما قال سبحانه فنفخنا فيه من روحنا يعني في فرجها. وجعلناها وابنها آية للعالمين. ومن المفسرين من قال إنه نفخ في فمها ومن فمها النفخ وصلت إلى بطنها ثم إلى مكان منقاد الجنين، لكن هذا يخالف ظاهر القرآن الكريم. الله عز وجل جعل أو بين أن النفخ كان في فرجنا، بمعنى أنه نفخ في قميصها من جيبها في أعلى الصدر، وأوصلها الله سبحانه وتعالى بقدرته إلى المكان الملائم. وهذه النفخة التي نفخها جبريل نفخة مخلوقة من خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى، ونسبة الروح إلى الله عز وجل هي نسبة تشريف وتكريم، لأنها صفة من صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى، مثل ما قال عن آدم فإذا سويته ونفخت فيه من روحي فقعوا له ساجدين. المقصود أن جبريل لما نفخ في جيبها حملت بإذن الله، فانتبذت به مكانا قصيرا، ذهبت إلى مكان بعيد حتى وضعت حملها. قال سبحانه فأجاءها المخاض، وذلك أنها خافت من كلام الناس، عرفت أنها لابد أن تمتحن وأن تتهم وأن تتكلم فيها وأن تولع، فلهذا ذهبت إلى مكان قصر بعيد. فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة، لما اشتد بها المخاض خاض الولادة لجأت اعتمدت على جذع نخلة وقالت عند ذلك يا ليتني مت، قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا، تمنت الموت. ليس المقصود يعني من ألم المخاض والله أعلم، إنما تمنت الموت في تلك اللحظة طلبا للسلامة من الفتنة، إن عرفت أن وراء هذا الأمر ابتلاء عظيم. يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نفسي منجيا. فناداها من تحتها، قيل إنه جبريل وقيل إنه عيسى، العلم عند الله. ناداها مناد قد يكون هو روح القدس أو يكون عيسى، فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزن، ألا تحزن، قد جعل ربك تحتك سريع. نهاها عن الحزن لأنه عز وجل سيجعل لها فرج ومخرج وسيسر لها أمرها، فلم تحزن إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا، والله عز وجل معها، فإنها امرأة صالحة تقية نقية طاهرة قانتة. ومن كان كذلك كان الله عز وجل معه، ومن كان الله معه فلا خوف عليه ولا حزن. ألا تحزن قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا، يعني قد أجرى تحتك نهارا ماء عذبا تشربين منه تطهرين منه. وهزي لك بجذع النخلة. لما؟ قال تساقط عنك رطب الجنية. وهذا من بعد تعليم الناس الأخذ بالأسباب، فهي امرأة حديثة عهد بولادة ضعيفة، ولو شاء الله عز وجل لأسقط لها الرطب بين يديها بدون تعب بدون نفر بدون سبب، ومع ذلك قال الله عز وجل هزي إليك بجذع النخلة. من باب التعليم الأخذ بالأسباب في طلب الرزق. تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا، قد يكون أن هذا الوقت الذي حصلت فيه ولادة عيسى كانت أيام صيف، وكان الوقت وقت للرطب، وهكذا قال عدد من أهل العلم. ولهذا هم يغلطون النصارى الذين يزعمون أن مولده في فصل الشتاء، والقول الآخر أنه قد يكون في فصل الشتاء، ولكن هذا أمر حصل على خلاف وغير العادة. إكرام من الله عز وجل لمريم أن جعل تلك النخلة فيها رطب، والوقت ليس بوقت رطب، والعلم عند الله جل وعلا. فكري واشربي، هذا أمر امتنان، أمر امتنان وتطيب لنفسها وإزالة لما لحقها من الحزن والخوف والوجل والنفس. فكري واشربي وقري عينا، كوني طيبة النفس قريرة العين وشريحة الصدر عظيمة الأمل والرجاء فيما عند الله سبحانه وتعالى من النصر والتأييد والحماية. وأمن الناس فالله عز وجل فيك إياهم، ولهذا قال لها فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نظرت للرحمن صوما، يعني الناس سيرونك وأنت معك هذا الطفل المولود ويعلمون أنك لست بذات زوج، فلا بد أن يحصل منهم اتصال من أين أتاك هذا الولد، فيسبق إلى ظنون كثير منهم الظن السيء. ولكن لا عليك، فإن سألك سائل فلا تردي عليه، تقول إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا. كان في شريعتهم الصوم عن الكلام، وهذا في شريعتنا غير مشروع. ولما رأى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الرجل الذي قال له أبو إسرائيل كان ساكت صامت لا يتكلم قائم في الشمس، فسأل عنه فأخبر أنه نذر أنه يصوم عن الكلام فلا يتكلم، فأمره النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يتكلم وأن يستبر. فليس في ديننا الصوم عن الكلام، لكن هذا كان مشروع في شريعتنا. إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا. فأتت به قومها تحمله، قال أهل العلم يعني بعدما صحت وطابت وتعالت لنفاسها. فأتت به قومها تحميله. قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا، أنا جئت أمر منكر، وهذا أمر عزيز أن يصدر منك، أن تقع منك الفاحشة. لما؟ لأنك معروفة بالخير والصلاة، ولأن عائلتك معروفة بالخير والصلاة والاستقامة، فكيف خالفت الأمر المعهود عنك ومنك ومن عائلتك؟ ولهذا قولنا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأة سوء، إن كانت أمك بغية. يا أخت هارون الذي يظهر أنها كان لها أخ يقال له هارون، وكان هذا الأخ كان معروف بالخير والصلاح، ولهذا يقولون لها أنت أخت هارون، يعني الرجل الصالح. ما كان أبوك امرأة سوء، أبوك أيضا كان رجلا صالحا، ما كانت أمك بغية، هي أيضا أمك كانت امرأة صالحة. فمن أين، فكيف خالفت طريقة أبيك وأمك وأخيك؟ وبعض الناس استشكل يقول أن هارون هذا هو أخو موسى، ومن ذلك كان المغيرة بن شعبة كما في الصحيح بعثه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إلى نجران، فقال له نصارى نجران إنكم تقرأون في كتابكم يا أخت هارون وكان بين موسى وعيسى كذا وكذا، يعني مدة طويلة جدا، أزمان وأعناق وقرون. فلما رجع المغيرة إلى رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام طرح له هذا الاستشكال، قال إنهم كانوا يسمون بالنبيين منهم الصالحين، كانوا يسمون بأسماء النبيين والصالحين منهم، فسمي أخوها هارون على اسم نبي الله عز وجل هارون، وليس المقصود أن هارون هذا هو هارون أخو موسى. والعلم عند الله. فلما قال لها ذلك أشارت إليه، لما قالت نذرت للرحمن صوم أنا لا أتكلم، لكن عندكم سؤال عندكم شيء كلموا هذا الطفل، كلموه هو. قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صمية، يعني كأننا نقول تستخفين بنا تستهزئين بنا، كيف نسأل طفل مولود متول لا يعقل لا ينطق لا يتكلم لا يفهم؟ فجاء الفرج من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فأنطق الله عيسى بن مريم قال إني عبد الله، أول كلمة نطق بها إني عبد الله، عبد من عباد الله جل وعلا، هو خلقني هو أوجدني بعد العدم هو الذي يدبر أمري، إذن ليس عيسى إله، ليس هو الله، ليس ابن الله، ليس ثالث ثلاثة، إنما هو عبد من عباد الله جل وعلا يعبد الله ويدعوه وحده ويخافه ويرجوه، ولا يملك لنفسه ضرا ولا نفعا. قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب يعني الإنجيل وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت ومن بركته أينما كان أن يوحيت المحب يدعو إلى الله ويأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر ويعلم الناس الخير وأوصاني بالصلاة أن يصلي له سبحانه وتعالى يركع له ويسجد له ويخضع له ويصلي له هو عبد من عباد الله يأتي بطاعة الله ويستند ما حرم الله عز وجل وصاني أيضا بالزكاة الصلاة الثانية للخالق الزكاة الثانية للخلق وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي لأنه ليس له إلا أم ليس له أب فهو بار بها رحيم بها محسن إليها مشفق عليها ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا عافيا بعيد عن الهدى عصمه الله من ذلك السلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا السلام اسم من أسماء الله اسم الله عز وجل عليه في هذه الأحوال عند الولادة وعند الموت وعندما يبعث قلنا أنه يحب الله عز وجل في ثنائته وكلاءته يسلمه الله من كل آفة وقد ثبت عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الصحيح أنه ما من مولود إلا ويقع الشيطان فيه عند ولادته فيصرخ المولود وإن الله عز وجل وقع من تلك الوخزة عيسى وأمه لذلك البركة الدعاء أم مريم امرأة عمران وإن يعيدها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم فوقى الله عيسى وأمه من تلك الوخزة فهذا من سلامته يوم ولد ولما قص الله عز وجل هذه القصة العظيمة الجليلة التي تبين عظم شأن مريم وعظم شأن عيسى قال سبحانه ذلك عيسى ابن مريم ذلك عيسى ابن مريم وهذا شأنه وهذا مبدأ خلقه عليه الصلاة والسلام وهذا شأن أمه ومن هنا نستخلص أنهما عبدان صالحان ومريم امرأة صالحة تقية نقية طاهرة مبرأة من كل سوء كما قال الله عز وجل عنها أمه في الدين وليس كما يزعم اليهود على دعاية الله أنها كانت عاهرة ثانية وأن عيسى ولد زنا معاذ الله ومن هنا نعلم أيضا أن عيسى عبد الله وكلمته ورسول من رسله وليس كما يزعم اليهود الذين كفروا بنبوة ورسالته ومن خلال أيضا ذلك السياق الكريم نعلم أن عيسى وأمه بشر يطرأ عليهم ما يطرأ على البشر يأكلان الطعام يشربان الماء احتاجان بعد الأكل والشرب إلى ما يحتاج إليه المخلوق من البول والغائط، ولد كما يولد البشر، خرج من رحم أمه، وهكذا مريم مسها الضر المخاض وغيره، وهذا كل فعل المخلوق. هي امرأة من النساء، وذلك خلاف لما يزعمه النصارى الذين اتخذوا عيسى أمه إلهين، جعلوا مريم والعياذ بالله زوجة وصاحبة لله سبحانه وتعالى. وعيسى ابن الله جل وعلا، هذا الشيء كله رد على الطائفتين التي فرطت في خط عيسى وأمه، وهم اليهود، والذين أفرطوا في عيسى وأمه وهم النصارى. ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي ينكر. ما كان لله أن يتفرع الولد سبحانه، الله ليس له ولد، لا عيسى ولا عزير ولا الملائكة ولا غيرهم، بل كل ما سواه سبحانه هو خلقه. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، يعني السيد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه، ينزه نفسه وليكن له ولد، لأن الله عز وجل ليس له مثيل، ليس له ند، ليس له كفو، ليس له فن، ولو كان له ولد لكان الولد مثل أبيه، والله عز وجل ليس له مثل، لو كان له ولد لكان له صاحبة حتى يكون منها الولد، ولو كان له صاحبة كانت هذه صاحبة مثله أو مدالية ومقاربة له، والله عز وجل ليس له مثل ولا كفو ولا ند. الولد في حق المخلوق كمان، لأن الإنسان يفرح بالولد، يتقوى به من الضعف، يتكثر به من القلة، وينتفع به ويعينه ويحمل اسمه من بعد، ونحو ذلك من المصالح التي تكون في الولد. فالولد في حق المخلوق كمان، لأنه محتاج إلى الولد. أما الله سبحانه وتعالى فنسبة الولد إليه نقص، لأن الله عز وجل غني ليس بحاجة. يا أيها الناس أنتم فقراء إلى الله والله الغني الحميد. فالله غني بذاته، ما يحتاج إلى أحد من خلقه ولا إلى شيء من خلقه سبحانه وتعالى. إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون، ليس بعيد على قدرة الله أن يخلق عيسى بلا أب، فقد خلق من قبله آدم بلا أب ولا أم، بل قد أوجد السماوات والأرض وهذه المخلوقات العظيمة التي خلق الإنسان ليس إليها بشيء. من خلق السماوات والأرض أكبر من خلق الناس، أوجدها من العدم. كما العجيب أن يخلق عيسى بلا أب، إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون، وإن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم. هكذا يأمر عيسى قومه أن يعبد الله وحده ويعترف بأن الله رب له، فهو عبد مربوب لله جل وعلا. قال سبحانه فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين كفروا من مشهد يوم عظيم. اليهود كفرت به والنصارى افترقت منهم من قال كان الله فينا ثم رفع، ومنهم من قال كان فينا ابن الله ثم رفع، ومنهم من قال كان فينا عبد الله ورسوله ثم رفع. فالطائفة الأولى والثانية طائفتان ضالتان كافرتان، والطائفة التي أقرت وآمنت أن عبد الله ورسوله هي الطائفة المؤمنة الموحدة. ونحن نؤمن أن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله كما أخبرنا الله عز وجل، ومن آمن بذلك مع بقية شرائط الإيمان كان من أهل الجنة. ففي الصحيحين من حديث عبادة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمد عبد الله ورسوله، وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله، وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه، والجنة حق والنار حق، ادخله الله الجنة على ما كان من العمل. وفي رواية: ادخله الله الجنة من أبواب السماء أن أي عشاء على ما كان من العمل، أو كما قال صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. وكذلك أيضا ثبت عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من آمن بعيسى ثم آمن بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كتب له الله الأجر مرتين. فمن كان نصرانيا مؤمنا بعيسى ثم آمن ودخل في الإسلام وآمن بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كتب الله له الأجر مرتين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في آخر سورة الحديد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله الغفور الرحيم. قال أن تفسرون هذه الآية نزلت في شأن أهل الكتاب، يا أيها الذين آمنوا يعني من أهل الكتاب اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله، آمنوا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإنكم إذا آمنتم بنبيكم ثم آمنتم بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كتب الله لكم الأجر مرتين يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته. ومن إيماننا بعيسى عليه السلام أننا نؤمن أنه ينزل في آخر الزمان، في آخر أيام الدنيا، كما قال سبحانه وتعالى: وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته، إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته. فعيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام ينزل في آخر الزمان، ينزل كما جاء في بعض الأحاديث والآثار أنه ينزل على المنارة البيضاء شرقي دمشق، ينزل في صلاة الفجر وقد أقيمت الصلاة، ويقدمه إمام المسلمين في ذلك اليوم وهو المهدي، ويقول: فلما يقدمه إمام المسلمين يمتنع ويعتذر عيسى ويقول فيما يقول: إنما الصلاة أقيمت لك. وثبت في الحديث: كيف بكم إذا نزل فيكم عيسى بن مريم وإمامكم منكم تكريمة الله لهذه الأمة، أن يصلي عيسى خلف رجل من هذه الأمة. فينزل عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام رسولا وحكما عدلا، يحكم بالعدل والقسط، ويحكم بشريعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عاملا بالكتاب والسنة، فيكسر الصليب ويقتل الخنزير ويضع الجزية فلا يقبلها ولا يقبل من أحد إلا الإسلام. ومن بشائر الخير أن الملل والأديان تبطل في ذمن عيسى، فلا يبقى على وجه الأرض إلا موحد، فيكون الناس كلهم عبادتهم وسجدتهم لله وحده سبحانه وتعالى. ثم بعد ذلك يقتل المسيح الدجال، يطارده هو المسلمون حتى يدركه في بابلد في فلسطين، ويقتله بإذن الله جل وعلا، وتمتلئ الأرض خير ويفيض المال ويأمن الناس ويحصل الخير والبركات ما لا يعلمه إلا الله جل وعلا. وكان عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام ربعة من الرجال، يعني لا طويل ولا قصير، وكان أحمر اللون يعني أبيض مشرب بحمرة، وكان شعره جعد يعني تكسر بالشعر وانثنى كما وصفه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وسيحج ويمر بالروحاء مربيا حج بيت الله سبحانه وتعالى. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول أنبياء إخوة لعلات، يعني كل إخوة لأب، الأب واحد والأموات شتى، الشرائع شتى والدين واحد، يعني الأنبياء متفقون في التوحيد. وأما في الشرائع الحلال والحرام فتختلف الأحكام من شريعة إلى أخرى. وأنا أولى الناس لعيسى بن مريم، ليس بيني وبينه نبي. وأنا أولى الناس لعيسى بن مريم، ليس بيني وبينه نبي. وكثبت في الصحيح أن عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام رأى رجلا يسرق فقال له سرقت؟ فقال الرجل لا والله الذي لا إله إلا هو ما سرقت. فيقول عيسى أو فقال عيسى آمنت بالله وكذبت عيني. وهذا يدل على تعظيمه لمقام الله سبحانه وتعالى، حتى أنه قال ما قال فآمنت بالله إن رجل حلف بالله لا والله الذي لا إله إلا هو قال آمنت بالله وكذبت عيني. فالمقصود أن عيسى رسول كريم وعبد صالح من الله عز وجل عليه النبوة والرسالة، وهو أحد أولي العزم من الرسل، وقد دعا الناس إلى توحيد الله عز وجل وإفراده بالعبادة، وابتلي في حياته بعداوة اليهود له والملوك الجبارين، ولكن الله سبحانه وتعالى سلم ونجاه كما خلص أمه من قبل، فرفعه إليه حيا بروحه وجسده وينزل في آخر الدنيا كما سبق. فعلى المسلم أن يؤمن بذلك كله وأن يجتنب طريقة اليهود الذين يفرقون في شأن عيسى فيكفرون به أو يسبونه أو ينسبونه إلى ما لا يليق، وأن يجتنب طريقة النصارى الذين يغلون في عيسى فيجعلونه إلها أو ابن الله أو ثالث ثلاثة. هذه عقائد كلها كفر، ولا يجوز للمسلم أن يشارك المشركين في الاحتفال بمولد عيسى، فإن المسلمين ليس لهم إلا من الأعياد الشرعية إلا عيد الفطر وعيد الأضحى، وما عدا ذلك من الأعياد فهي أعياد باطنة منكرة. والاحتفال بمولد عيسى في تشبه بالنصارى، وفيه أيضا إقرار لما يزعمونه من أنه ابن الله، فيحتفلون به على هذا الأساس، يفرحون به ويحتفلون به على أنه الله أو ابن الله أو ذال الثلاثة. ولا شك أن هذا أمر عظيم ومنكر كبير وزيغ وضلال. فعلى المسلم أن يجتنب الزور، فإن الله عز وجل يقول عن عباد الرحمن الذين لا يشهدون الزور، ومن الزور أعياد المشركين أعياد المثنيين. هذا ما سيكثر ذكره في هذا المقام، وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقني وإياكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح، وأن يجعلنا ممن آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وآمن بالقدر خيره وشره، استقام على الإيمان وعلى التوحيد إلى أن يلقى الله، إنه سميع مجيب الدعاء. هذا والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد.
وعليكم وإليكم فيكم المطعم وما قلتم شيئا.
السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. It was indeed a pleasure and honor as part of our winter webinar entitled The Calling of All the Prophets and Messengers with Muwahhidin Publications in the Caribbean U.S. It was indeed a pleasure and honor to have had with us and heard from our noble Sheikh Ali ibn Yahya al-Haddari, hafidhahu ta'ala, who just delivered a lecture entitled The Status of Jesus and His Mother Maryam in Islam. The Sheikh hafidhahu ta'ala gave a short introduction, greeting the listeners with the greeting of Islam, Salaamu Alaikum, praise Allah. The normal introduction, he said then that there's no doubt that the topic of the status of Jesus and his mother Maryam in Islam is something that would take a very long time to cover. We don't have all that time, but we will ask Allah's blessings in trying to summarize the best that we can within the time constraints, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make what is said beneficial and blessed. And said that Iman in all of the messengers is one of the arkan, one of the pillars of Iman. And no one's faith is correct until he believes in all of the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's much evidence for this from the Quran and Sunnah. From that evidence is the well-known hadith of Jibreel, in which Jibreel came to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the form of a human being and asked him about what is Islam and what is Iman. And responding to the question about Iman, the Prophet ﷺ responded that it means to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the Day of Judgment and the Divine Decree, the good and the bad thereof. And so we understand from this that believing in the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla is one of the pillars of Iman, something that no one's Iman is correct without. The way that we must believe in Iman is in a general sense and in a specific sense. In a general sense, we must believe that Allah Azza wa Jal sent messengers to earth to guide humankind. In a specific sense, we must believe in them by name and the details mentioned thereof, according to our knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. So, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned by name in the Quran, we must believe in them in a specific sense. Like Ibrahim, like Nuh, like Isa, like Musa, like Shu'aib, like Hud, like Saleh. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned them in his book, and no one's Iman is true and complete until they believe in whom Allah mentioned in his book, in the way mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jal in his book. Whoever disbelieves and rejects any one of the prophets is a disbeliever, is a kafir. And the ruling on him is the ruling of one who disbelieves in all of the prophets. Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Nuh belied the messengers. How is it that the people of Nuh alayhi salam could belie the messengers if he was the first messenger on the face of the earth? He was the only one. So how is it that they would belie the messengers? And Allah used the plural word. That's because whoever disbelieves and rejects one prophet has rejected all of the prophets. Whoever disbelieves in one messenger has rejected all of the messengers. And so, we must believe in all of them. From amongst the messengers that we believe in as Muslims is Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his story in several places in the Quran, mentioning the details of his life and his message. We see this detailed in Surah Ali Imran, Surah Maryam, Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah Al-Ma'idah, and elsewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his upbringing, his childhood, his da'wah, and his call to Allah. How the people took him as a deity alongside Allah. And Allah mentioned in these verses his great status, alayhi salam. The fact that he was one of what are known as ulul azm, the messengers of firm resolve. And other details besides this are mentioned in the book of Allah concerning Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. Because of the time constraints, Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that I will constrict myself to mentioning what is mentioned about Isa ibn Maryam in Surah Maryam, the beginning of Surah Maryam. Before mentioning this, the story of Maryam and Isa alayhi salam, Surah, Allah Azza wa Jal first mentions the story of Zakariya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did the same thing before mentioning the story of Jesus and Mary in Surah Ali Imran. He first mentioned The same thing we find in Surah Al-Anbiya. So this is a common trend in the Quran. That's the story of Zakaria is made like an introduction before the story of Maryam. Zakaria was a prophet of Allah who Allah answered his offspring, granted him a righteous son, Yahya, and he rectified for him his spouse. And he made Zakaria the one who was in charge of taking care of Maryam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Zakaria with a child, in spite of the fact that he was old in age. And normally old people don't have children. And on top of that, his wife was not only old in age, but she was barren. She couldn't have children. So these were two things preventing, normally, under normal circumstances, having a child. But Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed them with a child, Zakaria and his wife, with a child, Yahya, anyway. To show that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is capable of absolutely everything. And so, Allah made this the mention and the reminder of this story. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed an old man with an old barren wife who could not have children with a child. As a way of reminding Bani Israel the fact that he sent to them a messenger who was likewise created and born under circumstances that are not normal. And so he appeared, alayhi salam. Isa, alayhi salam, appeared to the world in this manner that is not conventional. He had no father. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this in Surah Maryam. After mentioning the story of Zakaria, alayhi salam, and how he was blessed with a child, even in old age, and even in spite of the fact that his wife could not have children, after mentioning this story, he says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. And make mention in the book of Maryam when she isolated herself from her family in an eastern-facing direction. The mother of Maryam, alayhi salam, had devoted her to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she was a devout, pious, female servant of Allah Azza wa Jalla. She dedicated herself to worshipping her Lord. She didn't go out in public and intermingle with the people, except for what was absolutely necessary. She spent her days and nights worshipping her Lord. While she was doing this, while she was busying herself worshipping her Lord, a miracle happened to her. Allah says, فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا. And so she took aside from them a barrier. She secluded herself. She was in isolation from her family. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّرَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. So we sent to her, Allah says, we sent to her our spirit. And he appeared to her as a complete human being. And so he came to her in the form, in the shape of a human being who didn't look like the angel. This was Jibreel, alayhi salam, the spirit of Allah. He came to her in the form of a human being. And she was in seclusion. She was in a private place. Nobody had access to where she was. And she was a chaste woman, a righteous woman. She feared upon seeing a man that he wanted to harm her in some way. And so what did she say to him? What did she say to this, what appeared to be a man whom she believed might be a potential harm to her? She said, I seek refuge with Ar-Rahman from you if you fear Allah. She was a person who feared Allah. And she was saying to this stranger she didn't recognize and feared, if you fear Allah, if you know that you have a Lord above you who is powerful and can punish you, don't touch me. Don't harm me. She was reminding him of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then the spirit, Jibreel alayhi salam, he comforted her. He comforted her, informing her that he was not a human being and he had not come to do her any harm. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. He said, I am only the messenger of your Lord and I have come to grant you a righteous child, a pure child. So this was his mission. He had come to this righteous servant of Allah Azza wa Jalla this pious woman who had devoted herself to worshiping her Lord, to grant her a child. Upon hearing this, she was amazed. How could she possibly have a child when she was not a married woman? Neither was she an immoral woman. She was not one who had boyfriends and slept around. She was a person who feared her Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and preserved her chastity. قالت أنا يكونني غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أكن بغية. She said, how can I possibly have a child when no human has touched me and I am not an immoral person? She was amazed at this. How could she possibly be granted a child when she knew that women need to have a man in their life to have a child? And she had no man in her life. She was not married. And she was not an immoral person who slept around with men. The angel responded to her, thus your Lord has said, this is easy for me. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees anything, he only says to it be. And it is. Anything is easy for Allah azza wa jalla. وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقَضِيًّا. And so that we could make him, this child that I am bringing to you, a sign for the people and a mercy from us. And this is an affair which has already been decreed. When Allah Azza wa Jalla decrees any affair, it shall come into place. Even if it's something that doesn't happen under normal circumstances. Just look at how Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that Adam was to be created. Normally, any human being to be brought onto the earth needs a mother and a father. Adam alayhi salam was brought onto the earth with neither. Then his spouse, Hawa, was brought onto the earth with out of a man. Not out of a man and woman, but only out of a man. She was created from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. Then Azza wa Jalla brought Isa alayhi salam onto the earth from a woman with no man to show his complete power to the people that he is capable of absolutely everything subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this, because he is capable of everything subhanahu wa ta'ala, he and he alone deserves to be worshipped. This is something that all of the messengers of Allah azza wa jalla came and invited their people to worship Allah and Allah alone. Not to worship them, to worship the messengers. Not to worship any created thing. To worship the creator of everything. This is a sign for the people. Isa alayhi salam was a sign for the people. And a mercy for the people. A mercy from Allah. Anything that Allah decrees must take place. Allah decreed the birth of Isa alayhi salam through this miraculous sign for the people. He decreed that Jibreel alayhi salam would descend down to Maryam and blow into her garment. He blew into the top opening of the garment, the opening where a person puts their head through to put it on. And this breath went down into her garment and reached her private part such that she conceived. She conceived. As Allah says elsewhere, فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. And so we breathed into it from our spirit. Some of the scholars of tafsir have said what is meant is that he, Jibreel alayhi salam, breathed into the mouth of Maryam. And thus the spirit went through her body and not through her garment. However, this contradicts what is apparent from the text of the Quran. And so Jibreel alayhi salam blew into her clothing. From the top opening of her clothing. And this breath and the spirit from him, as Jibreel was the spirit of Allah, the created spirit. This reached her and she conceived because of this. Allah Azza wa Jalla said likewise that it was through his spirit that he created Adam. When he said the spirit of Allah, he was saying that this spirit was a possession of Allah something that he had created. So he said about Adam alayhi salam, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, and I blew into him through my spirit, something that Allah had created, decreed. Jibreel alayhi salam, he breathed into the garment of Maryam, and with the permission of Allah, she became pregnant, without any man ever touching. She then went off to a faraway place to spend her pregnancy and deliver her child. And she knew that because this was a test from Allah, she would go through some hardships because of it, and that she would be ridiculed by some people. She would have to go through hardships. So when the time came to deliver the baby, she isolated herself and went off to a faraway place. فَحَمَلَتُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. So she became pregnant with him and isolated herself in a faraway place. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. And so the pains of birth brought her to the base of a palm tree. And she said, oh, that I would have only died before this and be something and have been something that was long and forgotten. She wished to have died so as to be saved from this test. She understood that she was going to be tested, that the people were going to make false accusations against her because she just had a baby. She was not a married woman. And so she was comforted. She was comforted at the time of giving the birth. When she was in labor, Allah says, فَنَادَاهَ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدَ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّ. And so a call to her was made from underneath her. Do not be sad. Your Lord has placed under you a flowing stream. She was a righteous woman, alayhi salam. Because of this, she was being a pious servant of Allah Azza wa Jalla, serving him, being devoted to him, worshipping nothing other than him. He made a way out for her from this hardship that she was in. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with all of his righteous servants. He saves him from the times of hardship, such that whoever Allah is with them shall have no fear and no grief. He placed a river underneath her, pure water, that she could cleanse herself with and drink from. And then he commanded her and she was at the base of a tree. He commanded her to shake the tree. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِتْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطُ عَلَيْكِ رُطُبًا جَنِيًّا. And shake the tree, shake the base of the tree, and ripe dates will fall upon you from it. Had Allah willed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could have caused the dates to fall down upon her without her ever shaking. But he was teaching her and the believers after her a lesson, that we must take the necessary steps to get our provisions. In normal circumstances, a human being can't shake the bottom of a tree and move it enough for the branches to move and fall off. But he was teaching her and the believers a lesson that we must take the necessary steps to look for our provisions. It was said that this was evidence that the birth of Isa alayhi salam took place in the summer, because it's well known that this is the season when the dates grow. There are also some of the scholars that have said that it could have been in the winter, and this was a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dates grow and fall off the tree in other than their normal time. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Anyway, Allah blessed her during the time of labor, giving her food and drink. He said, فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرْبِي عَيْنَا. So eat and drink and enjoy. فَإِمَّا تَرَيَنَّ مِنَ الْبَشْرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ نُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. And if you see any human being, say, indeed I have vowed to fast for Ar-Rahman, and I will not speak to anyone today. So Almighty Zuljal had blessed her with food and drink during this time of hardship. He gave her the glad tidings of victory and support and protection. She understood that people would see her eventually with her newborn baby. And knowing that she was an unmarried woman, accused her of being unchaste. That there would be people who would be suspicious of her and have bad assumptions. So Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded her that if she were to see anyone, not to say a word. Don't say anything to them. Don't defend yourself to say that you are fasting for Allah. This type of fasting meaning refraining from speaking, is not part of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Sharia, we don't fast from speech. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once saw a man standing in the sun and refusing to speak to others, he asked what the man was doing, and when he was told that he was fasting and not speaking to others, and that he was had vowed to stay in the sun to make his fast harder for him, he told him to keep fasting, but to talk to the people and shade himself. At any rate, fasting from refusing to speak in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not legislated. So, this was the command that she was given. Don't speak to the people, even if they make false accusations of you. Don't speak to them. فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُ. And so she came to her people, carrying him, carrying the baby. قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمْ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيئًا. They said, "Oh Maryam, you have done a terrible thing." يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. O sister of Harun, your father was not an evil man, nor was your mother an immoral woman. How is this that you came with this baby? We know you to be from a good family. How are you an unmarried woman? How can you possibly have an out of wedlock child? Once she, alayhi salam, had become healthy and had recovered from the pains of birth, she returned to her people. And upon seeing her, they were surprised because they knew her to be from a good family. The only way that they could imagine that an unmarried woman had a baby was from immoral behavior. And so they called upon her, saying, "Oh, sister of Harun." Maryam had a brother whose name was Harun, and he was known for being a good person, an upright, righteous person. And the rest of her family was the same. She was known for being from a good family, righteous, pious people. So they were amazed, how could she possibly have committed this sin and had a child out of wedlock? Some people may be confused upon reading this and think that what is meant is that Maryam was the sister of Harun, who was the brother of Musa. And this is incorrect. His name was Harun, but this was not the same Harun that was the brother of Musa. The Prophet ﷺ sent a delegation of Muslims to Najran. And the Muslims there met the Christians. The Christians had this misconception. They said, "How is it that in your book you claim that Maryam is the brother of Harun? We know that there was a long period of time between Musa and Isa alayhi salam. How could it possibly be that she was the brother of him when it's known there was a long period of time?" So they came back to the Prophet ﷺ and asked this question. And he clarified that this was not the Harun that was the brother of Musa, but rather that in Bani Israel and the people of the past, they would name their children after the pious people. And Harun, the brother of Musa, alayhi wasalam, was no doubt a pious person. And so the parents of Maryam also named their son Harun. And so, this is what is apparent, that he was named after the brother of Musa, not that this Harun, the brother of Maryam, was the brother of Musa, and the knowledge of that is with Allah. Anyway, they called upon her. They addressed Maryam, saying, "How is it, you being from a good family, we know you to be a good person. How could you possibly have done this heinous crime? Had a child out of wedlock. And she didn't say one word to them. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ She pointed at him. She pointed at the baby. Meaning, you have something to say? Say it to him. Talk with him. I'm not going to say anything to you. I'm fasting and I'm not speaking. You want to talk? Talk to the baby. قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا He said, how are we supposed to talk to a little baby? This little child, he doesn't understand anything. He's just a baby. He doesn't talk. How are we supposed to talk to him? And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued her in that situation. And he brought his comfort. And that miracle took place, which Isa alayhi salam spoke as a baby. And the very first thing that he said, alayhi salam, the very first word that he said, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبَدُ اللَّهِ He said, I am the servant of Allah. This is what he said to them. This baby spoke back to these people who were accusing the mother of being unchaste. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبَدُ اللَّهِ He said, I am the servant of Allah. آتَانِي الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا He has given me the book and made me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ He has made me blessed wherever I go. وَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا He's advised me to pray and give charity as long as I'm alive. And so, this was the miracle that took place. This baby spoke to the people. But Allah had decreed that he would be born without a father, that his mother was unchaste. That this was a miracle. This conception was a miraculous conception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no child, no son, no father. But he creates whatever he wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created Isa alayhi salam in the fashion that he wished, and he creates whatever he wishes from nothing. Whatever he says to something be, it is. It's not the fact that since Isa had no father, that Allah was his father. No. Isa was not Allah, he was not the son of Allah, and he was not part of a trinity. He was not the third of three. Rather, he was a slave of Allah, a servant of Allah. This was the first thing that he, alayhi salam, that Isa, alayhi salam, told to the people. I am a servant of Allah. I am not Allah, not the son of Allah, not part of a trinity. I am a slave of Allah, a prophet. I fear Allah. I hope for the mercy of Allah. I don't own for myself harm or benefit. I can't harm myself or help myself. All this is in the hands of Allah. He then told them, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا إِنَمَا كُنْتِ I'm the servant of Allah, and Allah has given me the book, He has made me a prophet, and He has made me blessed wherever I go. Wherever Isa alayhi salam went, he would be doing good. He would be calling to Allah, giving da'wah, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, teaching the people. He was blessed wherever he went. He then told them about himself, وَبَرًّا بِوَارِدَتِي And I am kind and obedient to my mother. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا And Allah has not made me an evil, oppressive, and wretched person. Rather, he was a pious person, one who looked after his mother. He had no father. And so he took good care of his mother. He was compassionate towards her. And he was not a sinful person or an arrogant person. Allah had safeguarded him from this. And put him upon guidance. He then said, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا And peace be upon me. Salam be upon me. The day that I was born. The day that I die and the day that I am resurrected. As-salam, or peace, is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was saying, Isa alayhi salam was saying that Allah, as-salam, the source of peace, is with him at all times. He was with him when he was born. In the fact that he was granting him this peace. Salam, Allah. The source of peace was with him, granting him peace at the time of his birth, saving him from every hardship. And as the Prophet informed, the birth is a time of hardship because he said that there is no child that is born except that Shaytan would poke him. And this is why the children are born crying. And he said that this happened to every child except Isa ibn Maryam. So Isa was the one who was spared. he was given this peace, he was granted this safety, even at the time of his birth. And this is part of the barakah of the dua of Maryam alayhi salam. So Allah spared Maryam and her child from what most mothers and children go through at the time of birth. Allah Azza wa Jal told this miraculous, amazing story. What had happened with this noble prophet of Allah? He then said, "Dharika Isa ibn Maryam." This is Isa ibn Maryam. This is the affair. What happened with Isa, the son of Maryam? قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون. The statement of speech is what they are doubting and disputing about. Isa and his mother alayhi salam were two righteous servants of Allah. They were not deities, nor were they imposters and immoral people, like the two extreme groups said about them. One going to an extreme, making them deities alongside Allah, and the other calling them imposters and immoral people. And the truth is a balanced approach between those two. That Isa alayhi salam and his mother alayhi salam were servants of Allah, righteous servants. They were not immoral people. It was not the case, as the Jews said, that Maryam alayhi salam was an adulterer or fornicator. She did not have a child out of wedlock because of immoral behavior. And also, because Isa alayhi salam was the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah, we understand that he was indeed given a divine message. And those who reject this message, meaning the Jews, claiming that he was an out-of-wedlock child and an imposter who was not actually a prophet, we understand from this, from the text of the Quran, that this is a lie. Also, Isa, both him and his mother, alayhi salam, were human beings. What happens to all human beings happened to them. They ate and drank, and therefore needed to go to the bathroom afterwards. So they were not worthy of being worshipped. They were normal human beings. So, in this there's a refutation of what the Christians claim. When they made both Jesus and his mother Mary deities that they worship alongside Allah. This story from the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran is a refutation of both these groups, the Jews and the Christians. One who rejects the message of Isa and the other who deify Isa alayhi salam. So Allah says, قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون. The truth is what they doubt and dispute about. The fact is, Isa was not the son of Allah. Allah has no son, no child, no partner, no equal. He did not take Isa as a son. He did not take Uzair as a son. He did not take the angels as daughters, as the pagan Arabs would say. These are all created beings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All servants, slaves of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He is Allah, the One. Allahu Samad, Allah, the Eternal, or the Master. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He was not begotten, nor does he beget. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is absolutely nothing and no one comparable to him. He subhanahu wa ta'ala declared his glory, that he is high above and in no need of having a child or a wife. He has nothing, absolutely nothing, that is equal to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any child is like his father. And Allah has nothing like him. Anyone who has a child is in need of a mate. And Allah has no mate. He has absolutely nothing comparable to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to created beings, human beings, having a child is something that is a sign of perfection. It's a good thing. In Islam, we rejoice. And we are blessed with children. Our children can help us make up for our own weaknesses. When we get old and can't take care of ourselves, we can depend on our children to come and look after us. And so we need children. Human beings need children. And children are a sign of perfection. Human perfection. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, claiming that he has a child, this is not a sign of perfection. This is a false accusation of deficiency. Why? Because with humans, we have needs. We have weaknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anything or anyone. He has no weakness, no imperfection. He needs no one and nothing. Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O you people, you are the ones who are poor and in need of Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. And Allah is rich, self-sufficient, praiseworthy. He doesn't need anything or anyone. Whenever He decrees affairs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He only says to it, kun fayakun, be, and it is. In fact, the creation, Allah Azza wa Jalla creating human beings, is not the most amazing of His creations. خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. Creation of the heavens and the earth is even greater than the creation of humankind. And so it should come to no surprise that Allah Azza wa Jalla would create Isa in the form that He did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of creating absolutely anything in any way. When He wants something to be, when He decrees that something shall be, He says to it, be, and it is. Allah goes on after that in Surah Maryam. Saying, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مِنْ وَلَدٍ سُبْحَانَهُ. It's not befitting for Allah to take any child. Glorified is He. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He decrees any affair, He only says to it, be, and it is. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ. Isa said to those people, a baby speaking to those grown men who made this false accusation against his mother. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ. And Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So worship Him. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is the straight path. After He told them this, what happened? فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And the parties, the groups, the sects, differed with one another after Him. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. And so woe to those who disbelieve what is to be witnessed on a great day. After Him, the Jews disbelieved in Him, alayhi salam. They differed with one another. Those who were witnesses to this miracle, the birth and life of Isa, alayhi salam, they differed with one another concerning Him. Some of them disbelieved in Him. They said He's not a prophet. Others of Him placed Him above the level of being a prophet, putting Him on the level with Allah, making Him a deity, be worshipped alongside Allah. The fact is that Isa alayhi salam is the slave of Allah, the servant of Allah, the messenger of Allah. Allah's final prophet and messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith sahih, whoever testifies to la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika, whoever says, testifies that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is one and has no partner, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ عَبْدُهُ رَسُولُهُ, and that Muhammad is the slave and the messenger of Allah, وَأَنَّ عِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, and that Jesus is the slave and messenger of Allah, وَكَرِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ, and His word, which He cast down to Maryam. To Maryam, He said, be, and He was. وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ, and a spirit from Him. وَالْجَنَّةَ حَقٌّ وَالنَّارَ حَقٌّ, and also testifies that heaven and hell are the truth. Allah will cause him to enter into Jannah regardless what deeds he may have committed, regardless of his sins. Another narration, hadith says, instead of Allah will enter him into, or cause him to enter into Jannah regardless of his sins, says, the other narration says, Allah will cause him to enter whichever of the eight doors of Jannah he wishes, regardless of his deeds. It's also reported that the Prophet ﷺ, authentically reported that the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever believes in Isa and then believes in what I have been sent with, yani believes in what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was sent with, whoever was a Christian then accepts Islam, will get his reward twice. He will get a double reward. for having accepted the message of Isa alayhi salam, and then having accepted the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will have a double reward. It's an encouragement for the Christians to accept Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says at the end of Surah Al-Hadid, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ O you who believe, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger. يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي He will give you a double fold of His mercy. وَجَعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ And He will give you light which you will walk upon and forgive you. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. بِأَلَّهِ عَلَمَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ So that the people of the book, Jews and Christians would know, أَلَّا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ They are not capable of absolutely anything. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَرِ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ That they have in their possession. They are not capable of any of the bounty of Allah. That all of the bounty is in the hand of Allah, and He gives it to whomever He wishes. اللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ Allah is the owner of a great bounty. From the scholars of Tafsir are those who say that these last two verses from the Surah Al-Hadid were revealed concerning the Jews and Christians. That they were to have accepted the message of Musa and or Isa and then accept the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would be given a double reward. A double of that bounty from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, part of our belief in Islam concerning Isa alayhi salam is as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِمِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا There is none from the people of the book except that they will believe in him before his death. وَإِمِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا And on the day of resurrection, he will be a witness over them. And so the Jews and the Christians who disbelieve in Isa now, those who call themselves Jews and Christians, and now are disbelievers in him because some of them reject him as a prophet and messenger, and others reject him in the fact that they make him a deity. The Jews are the ones who reject him as a prophet, and the Christians are the ones who make him a god. So they disbelieve in him. Before Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will believe in him. Why is that? Because he's going to come back to earth. And everyone living at that time will believe. Everyone living on that time. Isa alayhi salam will descend into the eastern part of Damascus at the time of Salat al-Fajr. And at that time, the Mahdi will be the leader of the Muslims. They will be getting ready to pray Salat al-Fajr. And when Isa alayhi salam descends, the Mahdi will tell Isa to lead the prayer. He will tell him to step forward and lead the people and lead the Salah. Isa alayhi salam will say, no, that your Imam is from you. As an honor towards this Ummah, he is saying that the one who leads the Salah will be from amongst you. And he will pray behind the Mahdi, the leader of the Muslims. And he, alayhi salam Isa, at that time, will come down following, practicing, and ruling by the Sharia Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be a judge who is just. And he will establish justice by ruling by the Sharia Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will break the crosses, kill the pigs, and he will not accept the jizya, the poll tax, taken upon non-Muslims living within the Islamic State. He will not accept anything from the people except belief, Islam. So everyone before he dies at the end of time will believe in him. Everyone alive at that time will accept Islam. In those days at the end of time, there will be much good brought about because he will establish justice on earth. Everyone will be believers on earth. And he will kill the Masih al-Dajjal, the false Antichrist. There will be lots of wealth at that time, and the people will be in a good condition. And he, Isa alayhi salam, his physical description was that he was not very tall nor a very short man. And he was a medium complexion, not a very dark complected and not a very light complected. Also, he had curly hair. This was, his description was somewhat similar to that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he will perform Hajj. Isa alayhi salam will perform Hajj. He will be declaring the Talbiyah that the pilgrims in Mecca make. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am the most deserving of people over Isa ibn Maryam, that there was no prophet between me and him. And he said also elsewhere in another hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that all of the prophets are paternal brothers. Their mothers are different and their religion is one. And it said in the Sahih also that Isa alayhi salam, he once saw a man commit theft. And he asked him, did you just steal something? And the man swore by Allah, saying, no, I swear by Allah, besides whom there is no true deity, I did not steal. And because he swore by Allah in this fashion, Isa alayhi salam said, I believe what you said, and I belie my own eye. What is meant is that Isa alayhi salam was a noble messenger and prophet of Allah. He was a righteous servant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with prophethood and a message. He was one of the five Ulul Azm, the messengers of strong resolve. He called the people to Tawheed. He spent his life inviting people to worship Allah and Allah alone. And he had to face the animosity of the Jews during his life. They wanted to kill him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and caused him to ascend to the heavens, and they never had the pleasure of killing him. Whoever doesn't believe in all of the aforementioned is not a Muslim. And so, part of our belief as Muslims is to accept Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam as a prophet and messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our belief in him alayhi salam is a moderate belief. It's far away from the extremism of others who have either rejected him as a prophet, like the Jews, or gone to extremes in deifying him, like the Christians, calling him God incarnate, or the Son of God, or part of a Trinity. It's not permissible for any Muslim to join the disbelievers in celebrating what they believe to be the birthday of Isa on the 25th of December. In Islam, we only have two holidays, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Celebrating any other holiday is haram. And joining the Christians, even if we have to be living in their lands, joining them along with their celebration in this fashion is a way of imitating them. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever imitates the people is one of them. There's no doubt that this holiday is an evil holiday and a holiday of misguidance, something which is innovated. And so the Muslim must abstain from everything which is false. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his righteous servants as وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, and those who do not witness falsehood, do not bear false testimony. Some of the scholars have said, some of the scholars of tafsir have said what is meant by not witnessing falsehood or bearing false testimony is not being witness, but not being a witness to the holidays of the disbelievers, not being present when they celebrate their holidays, because these are false holidays. They're not worth celebrating. So anyone who is present at them is bearing witness to falsehood. So Allah Azza wa Jalla describes his servants as being those who are not present, don't witness that falsehood. The Shaykh Hamidullah Ta'ala concluded saying, we ask Allah Ta'ala to bless us with knowledge which is beneficial and actions which are righteous. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those who believe in him, in his angels, his books, his prophets, the day of the judgment and the divine decree, the good and the bad thereof. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us firm in our iman until we meet him in Allah's vessel. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.